This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey, welcome in there, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. Good Tuesday. Happy, fun, exciting Tuesday for us here. There's a lot of good stuff on the docket today. Tommy, I'm in a good mood. Just because we got baseball like 2 days away, 3 days away, whatever it is. Like, that's got me jacked up today. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here, Max Power producing for us. Back in the studio, you can give us a call. 869-1240 is the number if you're listening to us on KFH. You can also leave us your video comments, Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected as well. And thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app, where you can stream us live, or you can take us with you in listen to us in podcast form anytime that you'd like. If you do that, you can leave us voice messages that we'll get to on the air if need be. Those are easy to do. You just push a little microphone, you leave us a message, and Max get those and can put those out over the air. We got a lot of fun stuff today. We'll continue to talk about the Sweet 16. We'll get Tommy's take on what we talked about yesterday quite a bit on, has this tournament been lacking anything, which has been a national narrative that's been floating out there. I've heard it from a lot of different places. So we'll do that. We've got Felix Johnson in to talk some Chiefs football, our Chiefs insider. Looking forward to that conversation. Of course, we mentioned the Royals start in just a couple of days. Good news on the injury front yesterday with Vinny Pasquantino. So we'll touch on that, look ahead. A significant injury last night that will impact K-State's women's chances at reaching the Final Four. We'll tell you what happened late in a game for their opponent in the next round. And Royals rumors on a potential site to move across the border to Kansas from our colleagues up in Kansas City. A lot to get to today. We'll give away some HTO. We'll have some fun. Tommy, glad to have you back. Glad to have you back in and in one piece.
Good to be back. You and I were talking. Sometimes you get sick and it just like comes on you fast and furious, and that's the way it was the other night. But good to be back here. Good to be feeling better today. And it sounds like a jam-packed show. I'm excited to get right into it.
Yeah, we have lots of fun stuff here. Let's Let's start with a couple of the news items and then just to get those sort of out there, and then we can digest them as we go through the show. So a couple of things for the Royals. Vinny Pasquantino yesterday, the news is that he thinks he's going to be able to go despite a, you know, a strained hamstring over the weekend. That's the report. It sounds like that's really what he wants to do. There is some optimism that he'll be ready for opening day. He won't play in these final games in Arlington. He's going to hit in the cage today, according to Aaron Rodgers yesterday, and then he's just got to be pain-free. So that's great news, Tommy. I mean, the Royals are doing things offensively. They lead the league in about a million offensive categories this spring. Vinny Pasquantino being in the middle of it is critical. It's critical because we love their top four as much as any top four in baseball, quite honestly. And that's proven itself this spring. And it looks like he'll be ready to go.
Well, and I don't know if you guys touched on it yesterday or not, but I think a fairly significant addition to the team, Mark Canna, you know, comes over to provide reinforcements, a veteran bat, a veteran outfielder. I had sort of thought all along throughout this spring training that they would try to do something to acquire a little bit more offense, especially in the outfield. And Mark Canna, you know, he's played in a handful of games for the Royals since they brought him over in spring training, and he's done a lot. He's gotten on base a lot. You know, he looks to be that offensive threat. So I think overall, I mean, knowing that even before they brought him in for spring training, they were doing great with all of their offensive statistics. And so having Mark Canna in place and then having Vinny Pasquantino healthy, if he can go for opening day, man, it looks like they've got this offense rolling.
Yeah, I don't know how much he moves the needle, but he at least helps, right? And I think that they'll have plenty of depth at that particular position just because of, you know, where they can move some guys around. Of course, Salvador Perez can play over there. I think it's more about just can we just get that group of four together for a while and see if they're as high octane as we think they can be, because, man, I think they can be. I don't know what's going to happen in the next five spots in the lineup. I think time will tell there. But when you just stack up the way that those guys seemingly fit together, it could be epic for Kansas City. Whereas the strength of the team last year was the starting rotation, for sure. The strength of the team could be the offense this year. I think we're seeing that play out in the spring. So we'll get into that in just a little bit. Another news item, Juju Watkins last night. I don't know if you saw this. I didn't until this morning. You'd figure they'd blow through Mississippi State on their way to meet Kansas State in the Elite Eight on the women's side. She tore her ACL, Tommy, which is just brutal to see those kinds of injuries this time of year. But that does open the door for K-State to potentially get into the Final Four. You kind of remember K-State was, I think, ranked second right before Yoki Lee went down with her injury. That's how good this team is. And she's back and she looks healthy to me. Yoki Lee does. So, you know, now without Juju Watkins there, I would say chances are pretty good for K-State to pick up a couple more wins.
Yeah, I mean, you know, USC doesn't go 30-3 with just Juju Watkins. Like, she's a major component of it, but they've got a significant amount of talent up and down that roster. And so it's not like it just becomes a cakewalk all of a sudden for Kansas State, but I certainly do think when you lose your top player, your top scorer, the one that, you know, is kind of the star on the team. Yeah, sure. I mean, it definitely does crack the door open a little bit more for Kansas State. And I think that considering that just from an injury perspective, as you mentioned, that, you know, it looks like the Wildcats are at full strength and USC is not, then yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, even from an odds perspective, USC's odds to win a championship have increased dramatically. And so I think that you've got to keep in mind that they do have a lot of talent. You know, your path got a little bit easier, but you can't take the rest of the team for granted.
Right, no question. But I think, you know, to K-State's credit, like we thought they might be Final Four good when healthy for a lot of this season. And then they just didn't stay healthy. So that happened last night. So we'll keep our eye on that for sure. But that was another big sort of news item that happened, and they play, I think Saturday, there's actually not a line out on that game yet. You can't do anything really with it. I looked. I was like, well, what is K-State now? They're going to be favored. What's their chance to get on to the Final Four? That bet's not available. You can still get them to win the women's national championship at like 60-1, but you can't get anything else. So we'll kind of keep our eye out and see.
And by the way,
as you mentioned, what that impact might be.
How devastating is that for Juju Watkins? I mean, somebody that, you know, has kind of picked up the throne of being the top star in women's college basketball. And, you've got this path to win a national championship. Your team has far and away been probably the best team in women's college basketball all year. And you're the best player. And then you go down with that injury. I mean, it opens the door for Kansas State. But, man, that's just devastating for USC.
She has absolutely lived up to the hype of, you know, taking the women's basketball mantle. She's had an incredible season. It's just terrible. Just terrible. And I hate it. And I hate it anytime because it's an ACL. Like, you don't know what this is going to do next year, too. But it's like seeing it with KJ Adams. Like, really? At this point of the season? Man, it's tough. It's tough. But the games will still be played, and K-State happens to be playing in the next one that they'll play, so we'll keep our eye on it. All right, when we come back, what about those Royals rumors to come to Kansas? We'll tell you what they had to say up in Dusty and Vesco in Kansas City next.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be here with you. Shocker baseball on the road tonight in Stillwater facing Oklahoma State. You can catch soccer baseball all season long right here on 97.5, 1240 KFH, or catch it online. Download the app, visit odyssey.com, and search for KFH. Glad to be back with you, everybody, here. Let's talk a little Royals. Off the field news yesterday, as kind of not, I don't want to say out of nowhere, because it's just been being followed pretty consistently by Bob Vesco up there, but our colleagues up at 96.5, The Fan, Vesco said something yesterday that certainly perked our ears up down here. This will be, we'll play it for you and then we'll react to it. So this was Bob yesterday on Vesco and Dusty, again on 96.5, The Fan, in regards to the Royals and potentially where they might play their baseball in the future. Here we go.
It looks like from everybody you talk to, it seems like it's just about, you know, I's dotted, T's crossed, that this thing's going to be at 119th and Knoll at the Sprint campus. And just, you know, having the conversations with both people in Arizona, people here locally as well, kind of going back and forth and, you know, connecting the dots and all that kind of stuff. People are more and more talking about it like it is happening, you know, like there's no more well if, it's almost like when now it's going to be happening. And the interesting thing about the Sprint campus that I didn't realize, And got this information over the weekend, I'm sure you could look it up as well if you wanted to. Do you realize that site is only 10 acres smaller than the sports complex right now where both stadiums are? So 10 acres is not a lot. I mean, that is not a lot. And you're only using it for one stadium. And the stadium is going, from what I've been told, inside where the parking garages are. Do yourself a favor, walk around and take kind of a look of where it is. The parking garage is on the Sprint campus. They're talking about putting the stadium inside, you know, those parking garages. I was told about 3 weeks ago or so, maybe at the beginning of this month, maybe late last month, that the Royals have reached out to the Jewish Community Center as well, wondering what it would take to purchase that land away from the J as well. Now, I'm told they don't need that land. They kind of just want it to complete the entire, you know, area that they have there. So I know that they've reached out to the Jewish Community Center as well to find out what it is. And I've also been told from multiple sources that representatives from the state of Kansas were down in Arizona. So, I mean, when you're loading up the big people and they're going to Arizona to have these conversations, it's kind of just a matter of, you know, when, not a matter of if anymore.
Okay. So that was yesterday on Fesco and Dusty up there. I think what you have to take away is not that, oh, the Royals are coming to Kansas, Bob Fesco said so. No. If the Royals come to Kansas, it sounds like that is a site that they're narrowing in on. So nothing has been decided. That site, I'm unfamiliar with it. I know it's a famous place in Kansas because of what it's been historically. It looks like Occidental, who is a Wichita company, actually owns that area. I can tell you that one of our reporters followed up with a lawmaker who said they're not to the point where the Royals have made just a great offer on what it is that they're going to do yet. So it's not anything like looming. It's not close to that yet. I think this is more from the Royals side that you're getting this from, and an area that they've honed in on if they come across that would be the area they come. I always sort of just assumed it would be up by the racetrack. But that area up there is interesting. And remember, it already has two star bonds up there between the track and Sporting KC. So I think this would be sort of an untapped area for something like this. Tommy, I don't know this area at all. I don't know if the pictures I see currently existing, like if you put a baseball field into that, if you have to knock down all this other stuff to build, I'm unfamiliar with that area, so I'm not sure. But
yeah, I mean, I think that my biggest takeaway with it is that you're not extremely close to interstate highways at that location. Like, you're probably a mile away from 435, you know, and that's good, but you're not like butted up against an interstate. So, you know, there's going to probably be quite a bit of infrastructure work that is going to have to happen if that ends up being the location. And there's already a lot right there. I mean, you know, obviously you've got the Sprint campus and you've got, you know, a lot of other things right in that area. So my guess would be that if that ends up being the location, there's going to be quite a bit of work that's going to have to take place to get it stadium ready.
Who foots the bill for that work then becomes the question, right? Like, what star bonds? Okay, I get all that. That makes sense. I if you've listened to this show, like, I'm a fan of star bonds. I like the idea of them because it doesn't make us in Wichita pay for something that won't benefit us directly. So who pays to do that infrastructure work though? Is that something the Royals are handling? Is that something?
I mean, I can't imagine that the Royals would handle that. Like, that would be something I would think that the state would have to foot the bill for something like that.
Yeah, I don't like that. I'm not sure that that's going to be the case either, because that's not like that sort of infrastructure to get things out of the way to build your stadium. Like, it's one thing for roads. They say could handle that, but not leveling and, you know, clearing a path and all that. That's all on the road. That's their business. Like, if we're going to give you a tax incentive to build your stadium, that's enough. That's all you get. Like, you're going to get that. If we're chipping in, like, that's all you can have. We've got the money there to help you get the stadium up. All that other stuff that has to happen, that's got to be on the Royals. Like, that, there's a line here where it's got to, you know, not a good enough return, I don't think. And look, the reality on all of this is it almost feels like it's all going to be a practice project to try and lure over the Chiefs, if we're being honest about it. Like, Kansas would love to have the Royals, and the timing would be pretty good, I think, right now to have the Royals. But, you know, that's small potatoes compared to moving the Chiefs over. So this will be fascinating to watch. I don't know where things stand. I don't know that it's like looming or pending or anything like that, but it sure does sound like, based on what Bob Fesco's saying and hearing there, that the conversations are next level conversations, right? They're not just, hey, would you might want to come to Kansas? No, there's real planning being done.
Yeah. And my guess would be that, I'm looking at a map right now. My guess would be that we're looking at the northwest corner of that intersection, and probably extending from 119th up to like 115th would be my guess. On the west side of Nall Avenue, which, you know, there is, There's room there. Like, you could do that. But again, going back to what I said before, you've got to go all the way up to north of 110th Street to get to an interstate. I mean, like, it's going to take a while. So, you're going to have to build out, I would imagine, Nall Avenue, all of the supplemental roads around, because otherwise it would be a nightmare to try to get in and out of that stadium if you're not making the infrastructure better. So is it something that could be done? I mean, sure. I don't know enough about, you know, how to build out, you know, city streets and that sort of thing and parking and everything that goes into that to make a definitive claim. Could it work? Sure. I just think it's going to be a lot of work to get it done.
Yeah, I'm looking at maps and stuff. It's foreign language. I just don't know this area enough at all. But, you know, I think similar to your Braves or a lot of teams, you just go out to the suburbs now for a baseball park. And I don't care. Doesn't matter. I'm sure it'll be great. Like, I trust everybody on that side of it. It's just who pays for what. That's the only thing I care about. And are they actually coming? And it sounds like there are real conversations, right? We've said this a million times. Officials on the Missouri side may be able to convince people to keep the Chiefs and do what it takes, but I don't think they're going to with the Royals. Not unless the city itself gets involved and figures out a way to get them downtown without a public vote. And I just don't think that's going to happen. So then it begs the question, all these details aside, how much do the Royals benefit the state of Kansas? Not as much as the Chiefs. It's an outdoor space. So it's not the same sort of, you know, I think you still get big concerts. I still think you can do a lot of that stuff, but you gotta be careful. Like, the benefit is not the same. You get a whole lot more dates in the summertime than you would for the Chiefs. I think you have to envision it, the timing being good with the Royals being competitive, which I think that part of it is good. But, you know, in order to pay off that star bond, you're going to need them probably to be real good. You have a real surge of attendance. And we know, look, I think the risk is probably fine for Kansas because, again, it sort of sets the table for the Chiefs. But you have to have the attendance. And this is a fan base that has shown you they will show up if the team is winning. You go back, and we've done this here. You go back and you look at Major League Baseball attendance, and you look in those years where the Royals were finally competitive from about the, you know, second half of 2014 on through, I don't know, 2016, 17, Royals were up and near the top of baseball in attendance. So they'll show up. So that's you're betting a little bit there too. And now you have a front office that's at least telling you and showing you they'll spend money. So the timing has probably never been better for something like this, quite honestly. And we'll see what happens.
Well, there's a reason why opening day on Thursday is sold out. You know, because the fan base is excited to get behind this team, a playoff team with, you know, really exciting stars of, you know, guys that have been around for a while and Salvador Perez and then Bobby Witt Jr., you know, that is the, you know, the face of the organization and could very easily be the face of Major League Baseball. So it's an exciting team. You're striking while the iron is hot. Again, am I willing to, you know, jump out and say, all right, like this is going to happen. Like this is where the team is going. No, but I do think that, yeah, I mean, those conversations continue to be had. And knowing all of the issues that have been encountered with trying to find different locations, remember, it hasn't just been one potential location. It's been multiple locations in the state of Missouri that have not been able to come to fruition. Then, yeah, I mean, I think it does lend credibility to the fact that, you know, it's probably going to be the state of Kansas. I just don't think we fully know exactly what that location is going to be. I'm kind of with you. I'm surprised that it's not closer up to Kansas Speedway in the Legends area, at least, you know, as far as like where the conversations are going now. But I mean, 119th and Nall, again, if you can make that location work from an infrastructure perspective, then I'm on board with that. I think that'd be a perfectly fine location.
Yeah, it kind of comes down to, because if the Chiefs came over, the thought has always been they'd be up there in the Legends. And so then it's like, okay, well, if Kansas could get both of them, is it better to have two different spots? Because now you have two different areas, right, of the state potentially bringing in some revenue, businesses popping up. Might not be a bad thing. I'd really have to dig in on that to know whether it would be more benefit to have everything all in one space or everything or something, you know, kind of spread out. I think having something kind of spread out would certainly help in the Starbond area because you have two different areas contributing to their own projects instead of everything kind of getting lumped into one area. I'd have to really think about that. I would be intrigued by it. I would be intrigued by it. But end of the day, it sounds like that is the area the Royals are focused on, based on what Bob Fesco is reporting yesterday. So again, focus on that part as far as the news item more than the Royals are coming to Kansas, because again, we had a reporter follow up with the lawmaker. That part of it, they've still got a lot of work to do, right? There's still, the Royals still have to come to the table with who's paying for what, like what would that even look like? But as far as where they would come, if they came, I think that's the big thing, the big takeaway, the big news item there. Again, I don't know that area, so be as excited or not as excited as you want to be. I'm not sure, but there you go. That was interesting news yesterday.
I think it's good. I mean, I think it's good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I'm not opposed to having the team in the state of Kansas. You know, I don't think it's a bad thing.
It won't impact my life at all.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that. Yeah, I mean, you're driving to Kansas City.
Well, I mean, I think it'll impact a little bit because that's closer. I mean, it's a little bit closer of a drive for us, you know, to get up there, yeah, you know, than it would be otherwise. You're probably cutting off 25, 30 minutes on your drive.
If you're doing it down and back, that's not bad. But as far as like the benefits of it to the state, we're not going to feel a lot of that down here. The what you feel is the state of Kansas in which we reside becomes a more attractive place to come do business, to come live. That does affect us in a positive way. But as far as like the tax and or the economic impact of having them up there, we won't feel that down here. It's just getting them over. And look, sometimes that stuff matters. Maybe it adds to the state coffers over time, and adding to the state coffers means property taxes lower to pay for stuff down here when you need, you know, school funding or whatever it is, you know, whatever the deal may be. But it's exciting. I mean, it'd be exciting to have it. And then what was it, Erin Andrews, that caught so much heat in 2014 for saying she was in the state of Kansas when she was in the state of Missouri? Maybe she was just foreshadowing back then that they're headed across. We'll have more to talk about with the Royals here today. Again, we mentioned the Vinny Pasquantino news. We'll touch on that, and then we'll get into some of the things they've been doing offensively and preview their season a little bit in the next hour. So Pasquantino strained his hamstring Saturday.
Yeah.
He's a big dude. Big dudes with soft tissue injuries scares you a little bit. You know, he dealt with injury last year. He had his slow start. Like he had an unfortunate year in a lot of ways last year. And man, when he was back and at full strength, the offense was next level. And I think it's going to be that way if any of those top four are in or out of the lineup, Tommy, and to see him maybe able to go is certainly good news.
You got to have him. I mean, you really do, because the offense is not the same without him. He's the guy that, you know, can help protect Bobby Witt Jr. and can help protect Salvador Perez and be, you know, one of the cogs in the machine that make the offense go for Kansas City. And we all saw the offense drop off significantly at the end of last year when he went down with that injury. And, you know, the Royals, if you'll remember, like limped into the playoffs because largely Vinny Pasquantino was on the shelf. And so being able to get him back in time for opening day, you've got to get off to a hot start. That's a big reason why the Royals were in the position that they were last season, because they got off to a really good start, and you've got to have Pasquantino in that lineup. So, you know, it is encouraging that he's going to take some batting practice today. It's encouraging that he's going to be able to get some work in. We'll have to wait and see if he's going to be ready to go for opening day, which is 48 hours from now. I mean, like, that's a quick turnaround to get him up and get him ready to go for opening day. But they absolutely have to have that production in the lineup. We've seen what happens with that offense when he's not there.
And look, they can play him at DH to start the season. Salvador Perez can play first base. They've got a lot of different things they can do to get him in the lineup. The most important thing is to get him in the lineup. Who plays first in game one when Salvador Perez will almost certainly catch? I don't know. I mean, we'll find out. But If Vinny plays
for... I mentioned him before. I think Mark Canha can play first base. That's a reason why they got him in.
Up.
Yeah.
If Vinny plays first base on Thursday, I think it's a great sign. I mean, if he's at first on Thursday, he's fine, right? Otherwise, I think the right play is to just kind of let him ease back into it, but keep his bat in the lineup. I was looking at preseason projections just a little bit ago. People cannot figure out and decide and agree on the AL Central. It is like any order of the top four. Nobody agrees on any of it. I get it. And then the White Sox are in fifth. But the Royals need these guys for every... The one thing they will not have this year is depth. Except in the bullpen, which is sort of a comedy from last year, that the fact that they actually have some depth there now. They will not have depth. They don't have depth in the rotation. They don't have depth in the lineup. They're top heavy in both areas, and they've got to stay healthy. So
they've got depth in the rotation. I mean, you could bring in... Assuming he's healthy, Alex Marsh or Daniel Lynch, or you've got a couple of other guys that...
They don't have good depth. They don't have good depth.
But they've got depth.
Every team can just put somebody out there, right? Like, oh, yeah, well, we've got somebody that we'll throw out there. They don't have good depth. They are very...
I thought Alex Marsh was fine last year. I mean, he can fill in, you know, when needed in that rotation. I think they're okay from a depth a depth position in the rotation. But yeah, in the lineup, he's like hurt, you've got to... Well, I know, but like when he gets back healthy, I think they've got that in place.
You said the Royals have depth in the rotation. I don't think they do have depth in the rotation. I'm concerned about their depth in the rotation. It was one of the reasons, and again, I've rubber stamped the trade for India now because we saw them add some depth and bring back Michael Lorenzen. And I love their top four, and I love their front four, and I'm willing to give Bubich a shot, even though, you know, it hasn't worked out historically. I'm okay with that. But I don't think they have depth. I think Bubich is a huge question. I think Lorenzen's health has been a question. I think imagining Waka being healthy for an entire season is a question, and they don't have, like, I'm not comfortable with Daniel Lynch or Alec Marsh, maybe, who's already hurt. Like, I think the rotation's going to be tested, and the health of the rotation will be a major storyline for the Chiefs this year, one way or the other.
You mean the Royals? You know,
what did I say? The Chiefs? Yeah, yeah. The Royals.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the rotation, while it has maybe taken a little bit of a step down because they don't have Brady Singer this season, I'm not concerned about the overall success level of the rotation. It's going to be really hard. I think even with Brady Singer, had he stayed with this team, I think it would have been really hard to replicate the success they had last year.
Totally agree.
So, like, I think as long as you take that out of the equation, it's okay to feel fine about the rotation. You don't have to be like, oh, this rotation is going to be incredible, because even with Brady Singer, they were going to be hard pressed to duplicate what they had a year ago. I feel fine about it.
But I don't feel fine about the depth of the rotation. Like, the rotation that they're running out there, I'm okay with that. I mean, starting with Reagans and Lugo and Walker and Lorenzo, like, the rotation's good, but they're like, that's it, right? They're like, they're four deep to me, and then it's real shaky after those four guys. And if you slide Marsh, who is the most proven, I mean, who are the next three? Marsh, Bubich, and probably Daniel Lynch. Like, if you slide Marsh up, now that 450 ERA, if he's, you know, now you're like, yeah, okay. Like, I just think it's very dicey. Now, what gets really interesting to me is all of those pitchers we just mentioned sort of reached innings limits. It reached innings highs last year. Like, they all basically crossed a threshold they had never crossed before. So it will be interesting to see, does that increase their stamina moving forward, or does that weigh on them this year? I think both possibilities kind of exist. I think for Reagan's a young guy, you don't worry too much about that. Lugo and Waka, though, a little older. Lorenzen a little older. Like, yeah, I'm a little worried that last year's innings could wear on them a little bit.
I do think that from a depth a depth position, and, you know, being able to figure out, okay, who is going to give us the best opportunity to be able to come in and pitch every fifth day? I mean, clearly they feel like Chris Bubich is that guy. And Daniel Lynch, you know, I think people forget that even though his, you know, there have been a couple times he'd been in the rotation and had started a few games and it wasn't phenomenal, he pitched out of the bullpen really well at the end of last year. And so I think having him, you know, I'm glad that he's in on the pitching staff, on the major league squad to start the season, rather than him starting in the minors. And I do think that, you know, they've got some prospects that they can look at if they need additional depth in that rotation. So, you know, I think if we have this conversation in August or September, you know, I think at that point we'll have a better idea. Okay, like, this rotation is in good shape. They're healthy. They've been able to get through this season pretty well. Or, yeah, there, you know, if there's a concern about who can fill in if there's an injury or not. But right now, going into the season, I feel okay not only with the guys that they've got in the rotation, but I feel okay about the guys that they need to go to somebody, you know, to be a spot starter, to start a game here and there. I'm okay with who they've got.
Yeah, I mean, spot start, again, I agree with that. Like, but my question becomes, what if any one of the, you know, the three or four miss significant time? Then what do you do? I don't have it. Like, they come into the season with their starting rotation being a strength. So, I don't want to misrepresent that. I just, if those top four guys miss significant time, now they have two big questions in their rotation. The other part of it, though, is, which is why I got on board with India at the top, is because I think there's almost certainty that the offense will be better. Again, if healthy, but that's always an asterisk in any sporting endeavor. But the offense will almost certainly be better with India at the top of the lineup, with Vinny Pasquantino not going to get, well, with Vinny Pasquantino and MJ Melendez not getting off to as slow a start as they did a year ago, I think there's no chance the offense isn't better if they're all out there together. The bullpen's way better. Not even in the same stratosphere, better and deeper, which means there'll be less pressure on the starters, which means early in the season, I'm not going to be that surprised if they take it easier on some of the starters. And this is why I hope that Daniel Lynch doesn't enter the rotation. If Daniel Lynch is going to be that kind of pitcher out of the pen, I'd just as rather him be a bullpen guy, right? And maybe at some point a high leverage bullpen guy. But if he's effective there, let him be there. Like, let him sit right there and add to a tremendous amount of depth. I mean, they can shorten a game down to five innings with the lead fairly easily now, whether it be some combination of Lynch, Harvey, Ursig, and Estevez. Like, they have four guys back there. Then it's like, okay, well, what is James MacArthur going to give you? Like, they got a ton of arms back there.
But don't you think that lends more credibility to the thought that maybe like a bunch of depth in the rotation they may not even need? Because with as good as that bullpen is, they can shorten games. I don't think, yes, that you're going to necessarily need to lean on Lugo and Reagans and, you know, like they, yeah, had to not a year ago. Like, Lugo threw a lot of innings last year that you don't want to have to duplicate. So they can shorten up games, you would think, in a way that you may not need that kind of depth in the rotation.
I think in a short term, like, missing a couple of starts is not what I mean. Yes, I do think they are equipped for somebody else to start games and give them a couple of innings. That part of it, yes. What I don't think they're equipped for is a significant injury to the rotation where a guy goes on and misses, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 starts because of a serious injury. Whereas last year, we didn't know it at the time, but turns out they had five good starters, right? And if Marsh comes back healthy, that certainly helps, but he's already hurt. And the other thing, like, and I think this is what you see in the betting markets, like, counting on the sort of health they got out of the rotation a year ago just is so unlikely, because it just doesn't happen anywhere in baseball to be able to keep all your starters essentially healthy the entire year. Like, that just doesn't happen. So that's where you have to look at this other stuff. You hope any missed time is short term, but, you know, it's something to watch as we're trying to dissect the team. Flip around to the other side on the offense. One of the Royals sports information people, director of media relations, put this out yesterday. This was before games were played yesterday, so I don't know if it held true through the action yesterday. The Royals offense this spring, first in runs per game, first in total bases, first in batting average, first in on-base percentage, first in OPS, first in slugging. These are like, this is, Look, I get it. Like, spring is weird. Guys play different places and they go, but I, that sort of thing, like when it's all of it, they've basically been the best at everything offensively this spring. That's what you drool over when you imagine a good leadoff hitter in this offense.
Yeah, I'm not.
Those top four guys, I'm telling you, it's just like on paper, it's near perfect.
I mean, obviously, the big question then becomes, can they carry that over into games that actually matter? And sure. will that be a drop off after the top four? Like, will you see what we saw a season ago where that production from the top four guys falls off a cliff? In the bottom half of the lineup. That's been my, I know your concern throughout this entire offseason has been the rotation and having the rotation be as good as it was a year ago. My major concern has been, what does that lineup look like the second half of the lineup? Once you get through the top four, will we see production from Renfro and Melendez and Massey and like some of those other guys? You know, because they've got the top four shored up, assuming Vinny Pasquantino's health, but having Jonathan India kick things off is fantastic. But I've been concerned all along about the second half of the lineup, but at least the way that this entire lineup has performed in spring training, that does give me some optimism.
Yeah, I think it's a concern. I think there's going to be regression both directions this year. And so regression can be positive or negative, right? Like regression is more toward like the norm. I think the starting pitching is likely to regress down a bit from the near, like from the absolute everybody hit their ceiling season they had a year ago. So I sort of expect that a little bit. And then the other way, like positive regression for so many players in the lineup, I think is inevitable too. Baseball's always been a game of averages, right? The chances that Melendez, the chances that Renfro and all those guys have the sort of start they had last year, I think are low enough that I think you're going to see the lineup naturally law of averages get a little bit better and the starting rotation law of averages not be nearly as, I mean, near perfect as they were a year ago. I think both of those things will happen. And so you get sort of like a wash effect for me. That's where the bullpen comes in. That's the one where, like, there's almost no chance they're worse, right? Like, they changed too much. Like, they totally redid the bullpen. So while those other two things might balance out a little bit, which is okay, right? I think that will be all right. It's the bullpen that almost certainly will be better no matter how you look at it. And I think that's the big difference. When we talk about this team being really talented and why aren't they getting enough respect? That's the place that I'm looking as much as anything else is their biggest flaw last year was their bullpen. And they are so much better at this point of the season. Now, they got quite a bit better by the end of it through the trade deadline. But at this point of the season last year, remember how bad that bullpen was and how much better it is now. So if you're looking for room to jump up and win the division, I think that's where you start.
Well, it got even
better they are there.
It got even better down the stretch than it was in May, you know, or
that's
June.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Like you know, going and getting Urcig and all of that.
Last year to start the year versus the bullpen now.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like not only did they not have Harvey or Urcig or like they have Harvey and they have Urcig and we know Daniel Lynch has been effective and they added Estevez who's been an effective closer. Like they have four more arms than they did last year that are all better than anything they had last year.
I mean, they were crossing their fingers and toes and anything else that they could cross that James MacArthur wouldn't blow games every time they trotted him out there. And now they've got so many other options. And the best part about it, like to my point a minute ago, it's not just options to close out games. They've got options to shorten games in the fifth or sixth or seventh inning. So many different guys that you can lean on. That bullpen from top to bottom, it may be one of the best in baseball.
Could be. I mean, Urcig is an absolute weapon when they can deploy him the way they're going to, which is just high leverage, put him in, right? It's not a closer thing. It's just like high leverage, put him in. It's as valuable as it gets. All right, we'll come back. We're going to talk a little college hoops. We're going to talk a little Chiefs. Stick with us. Sports Daily on the other side.